Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
Abraham wept. Abraham mourned, for Sarah, his beloved wife, was dead. They had been married at least 60 years, if not 80 to 100 years. You've been there, and maybe you're there now, weeping, mourning, full of sorrow and the pain of loss, over death, over someone you love, someone who was dear, spouse, parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, child, a brother, a sister, a friend. Abraham wept for the same reason you weep. Because someone you love, someone you spent time with, talked with, laughed with, argued with, ate with, is no longer there, no longer breathing, no longer moving, talking, laughing, only lifeless. Cold. Abraham wept for the same reason that you weep. Death takes, death wounds, and the pain that you feel, the loss that you feel in your heart, in your gut, is a clear indicator of the truth. Death is wrong. Death isn't right. Death is an enemy. Abraham wept over Sarah. Sarah was 127 years old when she died, and she is the only woman in the Bible whose years are mentioned at her death. The only one. I mean, this detail reveals her importance as a woman of faith, her importance in the story of God's work of redemption. She was only 65 when God spoke to Abraham, 65 when God called Abraham, 65 when they left their home in Haran for Canaan to follow God in faith, to follow God in obedience to a land that they had never been, a land that they had never seen, a land that God said he would show them, a land that God promised to give not to them, but to their offspring, to their descendants. For 62 years, they lived in this land. For 62 years, they lived in Canaan, wandering, dwelling in tents. They were strangers and foreigners, strangers in a strange land. In other words, they were resident aliens. They lived there, they had relationships there, they built community there, but it was home, but it wasn't. They did not settle. They didn't have a land of their own. They only had a promise. They only had a future promise. For 62 years, Sarah walked with her husband in faith, even when he was faithless. Twice, Abraham feared for his life over her. Twice, he feared that upon seeing her beauty, the inhabitants of the land would want her and kill him to get her. Twice, Abraham had her say that they were brother and sister rather than husband and wife. Twice, she ended up in a harem, once the wife of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, once the wife of Abimelech, king of Gerar. But God was faithful. Twice, God acted to set Sarah free. Twice, he restored Sarah to Abraham. Twice, he blessed Abraham through her. Not that Sarah was perfect. She wasn't. When she was in her 90s and overheard that God would give her a son within the year, she laughed. It was a laugh of disbelief. But 1 year later, that laugh of disbelief would turn into a laugh of joy as she held her own son in her arms, Isaac. Her son Isaac was a miracle child, a true gift from God. Isaac was the son of the promise, for not only did God promise Isaac, but also that Isaac would be the father of nations, that kings would descend from him. Through Isaac, God would bless all the families of the earth. Abraham wept. Abraham mourned over his wife, over death. Abraham wept in the face of this enemy, this outsider that God did not intend, because God did not intend lifeless and cold. God created life and breath and being. God intended life, but death came through sin. Death came through disobedience to God. Death is a result of sin. It's the curse of sin. It's the punishment for sin, and everyone sins, everyone. Abraham, Sarah, you. All it takes is one hateful thought, one word spoken in anger, one missed opportunity to act in love. And death is your end. Death is your punishment. Death is your curse. It's true for you. It's true for those you know, those you love. It's true for everyone. But the good news is this. God has overcome. This enemy that wounds, this enemy that takes, is overcome through the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the far-off descendant of Abraham and Isaac. Jesus is the promised blessing to the nations. He descended from heaven and was born to Mary. He died. Jesus died not because he deserved it, not as a punishment, not as a curse, because he was sinless. Jesus never sinned, which means he did not deserve death. Death was not his end, but he willingly entered to it. He willingly suffered. Jesus chose to die, and he did so for you. He died in your place. Jesus took upon himself your punishment. He took upon himself your curse. He became lifeless. He became cold, but God raised him from the dead. He's alive. And through him, death is conquered. Through him, death is overcome. And it's overcome for you. He's only the first. And you can follow. And like Abraham, like Sarah, the way that you follow is by faith. Faith. Abraham mourned, and then he rose up. For even in his sorrow, there were things to be done. Even as he wept, there were arrangements to be made. He had no place to bury Sarah. He had no land. In Hebron, the city in which he was dwelling, where he lived among the Hittites, he couldn't own land unless he married a Hittite. So here he is. His wife is dead. He has no place to put her body to rest. He has no land of his own. He can't own land, but he has the promise of God, that one day the land would belong to his descendants. He might not see it, but he had faith in that promise. So in that faith, Abraham approaches the Hittites and he asks for property. He asks for a place to bury Sarah. He refers to himself as a sojourner among them, but they call him a prince of God. They recognize God's blessing upon him and they offer him the use of any tomb. Abraham, you have your pick of burial places. No one will refuse you. But Abraham does not want use. He wants ownership. Abraham sees ownership as a commitment to the promise, God's promise of the future. He sees ownership as a down payment of faith. And Abraham even has a specific place in mind, a cave. The cave of Machpelah, which means double cave or split cave. Today, the site has a mosque built over it. But in Abraham's day, the cave was owned by Ephron the Hittite. Now, most of our passage is the exchange that takes place between Abraham and Ephron, the negotiation over the price, the negotiation over the terms of the property, and the dialogue is filled with courteous language and exaggerated politeness. And when all is said and done, Ephron sells the cave and also the field around it, and he sells it for 400 shekels of silver, maybe $500,000. Now Abraham has land. He's got a taste of the promise. And there in the cave of Machpelah, Abraham buries Sarah. And 38 years later, Abraham will be buried there by his sons. And this cave will also be the tomb for Isaac. It'll be the tomb for Isaac's wife, Rebekah. It'll be the tomb for their son, Jacob, and his wife, Leah. And finally, their son, Joseph. Joseph's remains were brought up from Egypt centuries later. Centuries later, when God's people, freed from slavery, entered the land of Canaan to make it their home. Sarah died before that promise was fulfilled. Abraham died before the promise was fulfilled. They did not see it with their own eyes, but they believed it. They had faith that God would provide a home. Our New Testament reading was from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And our passage from chapter 11 is at the end of a section talking about Abraham and Sarah as models of faith, reminding that they were strangers in a strange land, reminding that they were resident aliens, reminding that they were seeking a homeland. But listen to verse 16 again. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Now, the argument is that the promise of land to Abraham, the promise of land to Sarah, really pointed to something else. It really pointed to a better land, a better country, a better home, a city, an eternal city, a heavenly city with God, in the presence of God. Abraham looked at that. Sarah looked at that. When they looked to the promise of land, they looked to this promise of a better land. They looked to this promise of an eternal home, and so should you. If you follow Jesus Christ in faith, like Abraham, like Sarah, you too are a stranger in a strange land. You too are a resident alien. You live here, yes. You live here in the United States. You live here in Mississippi, yes. It is your home. But it's not. It's your home. But you have this sense, this longing that there's something more, that there's something better. And it's not just the potholes here in Jackson that causes you to think that. Now, for you graduating high school seniors, and there are eight of you, some of you will be moving. And if you've had time to think about it, I imagine you're excited, perhaps nervous and excited, and you should be. Change is coming. A new beginning is coming. A new home awaits you, whether that's in Starkville or Oxford or Mobile, and you'll live there, and you'll make community there, and it will be home. But it won't. And then you'll come back home to visit, and that home will feel different. It'll still be home, but it won't. And it's even true if you're not a graduating senior. Maybe you've lived here in Jackson or the Jackson area your whole life. Maybe you're like me, you're from another state, or you've lived in other places. You live and you have community and you make a home, but it's not home. Because your heart tells you there's more. Your heart longs for more. Your heart tells you there's better. And it's because you're a sojourner. It's because, like Abraham and Sarah, you're a resident alien. You walk by faith with the promise of God, the promise of a better land, the promise of a better country, the promise of an eternal city, a heavenly city, home, where you'll be forever, in peace, in joy, in love with your Heavenly Father. and death takes you there. Death takes you there. When Jesus conquered death, he also transformed death. Death is how you inherit the promise. You follow Jesus through death, and you follow him to the city. You follow him home. But in the meantime, you must walk in faith. In the meantime, you must live and love and work and study and give and pray and enjoy the gifts God gives. That's what Sarah did. That's what Abraham did. You have the promise. Jesus Christ gives you the promise, resurrected life, forever life with him. So when you sorrow, look to the promise. When you are overwhelmed, look to the promise. When you despair, look to the promise. When you are lonely, look to the promise. For God has prepared a home for you.
Thank you for tuning in to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.